Thank you. Please take your Bibles, study sheets if you use them. According to the calendar, we are about 4 days away from Thanksgiving. And my question is, how many Hallmark Christmas movies have you already seen? In my logical guy mind, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But more power to you. Of course, we hear the comments about how the plots are always the same in those movies. You can almost play through the plot beginning to end. And have you noticed the ending of those movies? They usually end with an engagement. The couple finally gets together after all the struggle and turmoil. And the movie ends with either an engagement or the actual wedding, right? They never end showing us what the marriage is like. They stop. We don't get to find out what the marriage is like. We just get to find out the struggle of getting together and then the relief at the end when they're engaged and married. But we don't get to observe what their marriage was like afterwards, during the first year, the second year, into the 10th year, into the 20th year, the 25th. We will never know, right? We just know it was so neat to see how they got together and found each other. This morning, we're going to talk about marriage because in our series called The Gifts from God with Love, we are moving into our second gift of the four we're looking at. We talked about the gift of singleness last week. Today we talk about the gift of marriage. So we're going to talk about your marriage, okay? Your marriage and my marriage are not movies. They're the real thing. And so we're going to talk about that. Let's pray first. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your word. Thank you for this very practical, relevant subject of marriage that affects so many of us and will affect many others. And Lord God, I pray that you will minister to us in this simple message, things we've heard before probably, but Father, we need to hear them again. And so I pray that it will be a fresh way and that this will be the time that we will respond to your Spirit. Maybe we haven't all the other times, but Father, may your Spirit break through today. In Jesus' name, amen. Marriage is one of the answers to loneliness. We know that from Scripture. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when we have the record of the origin of man, we know that the man was created, and then there was that statement in 2:18 of Genesis, the Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God decides to make a partner, a companion, a helpmeet, as the King James Version says, but a helper for the man. And so he goes about doing that and presents that woman to the first man. And really, one of the things that it was doing was meeting the need that was there because of loneliness, being alone. So marriage is one of the answers to loneliness. Marriage is also the context for following God's multiply command, the very first command that was given to human beings in Genesis 1, 27 and 28 was to multiply. It says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number." The very first command given to human beings was to multiply, to reproduce. And God gave marriage as the context in which that first command, that multiply command, would be fulfilled. And as you read on through Scripture, that is the only context according to God's design in which to follow the multiply command. Marriage is a picture of the union with Christ that can be had. It's a picture to the world. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about that, right? He's talking about husband-wife relationship, but as he talks, he keeps coming back to this parallel between the husband-wife relationship and the union of Christ with His church, with His people. And so the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. The husband is to be the leader as Christ leads His people. The wife is to respect her husband as the church respects Christ. The wife is to follow the husband's leadership as the church follows the leadership of Christ. And through that whole passage, you have that parallel which tells us that in God's intention, marriage was to be, we've messed it up, but His intention was that marriage would be this object lesson to the world of what a union with Christ can be like. Marriage is also, if it's important to you, an opportunity to have a lifelong ministry partner. You ever think about that? If that's important to you as a Christian, then marriage is your opportunity to have a lifetime ministry partner. Someone you can minister for the Lord, serve the Lord with for the rest of your life. That's pretty cool. And then, which will be our thinking for today, marriage is a gift, which follows our theme in this series. Marriage is a gift from God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As I said last week, chapter 7 is all about marriage, different issues concerning marriage. But we also saw that the Apostle Paul gets into the subject of singleness as well. But I want to come back to the verse we looked at last week to start, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 7. He says, I wish that all men were as I am. In other words, single. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. In the context, what's this gift and that? It's marriage or singleness. Those are the gifts he's talking about. And he says, some have the gift of marriage, that's been given to them. Some have the gift of singleness, that's been given. But they're both gifts. And so we talked about the gift of singleness last week. I want to talk about the gift of marriage. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. To follow that up, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. And verse 22. Proverbs 18:22. Solomon says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now you might be aware that the Greek version of the word for favor is charis. And charis means what? Gift. So really what the writer is saying is he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives a gift from the Lord, a grace gift from the Lord. A wife is a gift from the Lord. Chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's the source. From the Lord. Given by the Lord. Your parents might give you property. Your parents might give you some kind of inheritance. Your parents might give you a house. Your parents might give you the car. I don't know. But a wife is given by God. A gift. Turn over to Psalm 128, and keep your finger there. I want us to think about this whole idea. I mean, there's so much to talk about when we talk about marriage, and we just have a little time today. So I just want us to think about this idea of gift, that marriage is a gift. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 7. It's a gift. If marriage is a gift, then in my mind, that means my wife is a gift and the husband is a gift, that your spouse is a gift to you. If marriage itself, if your marriage is a gift, then the people involved are a gift given to make up marriage. And so what I want us to think about is this idea that if you're married today, your husband is a gift from God. I don't know how often you've thought that way, but your husband is a gift to you from the Lord. And men, your wife is a gift to you from the Lord. Your marriage is a gift. So, if that's the case, how do we respond to that truth then? How do we respond to the truth that marriage is a gift, our marriage is a gift, my wife is a gift, my husband is a gift? How do we respond to that? I'm going to suggest three ways very quickly this morning. By recognizing the fact. Okay? That's attitude. That's the way you think about it. That's how you view it. Recognizing this. Secondly, reminding. Actually communicating and reminding each other that you believe that. Reminding each other that they are a gift. And then, relating. Putting into action what you say you believe, that your spouse is a gift to you. Going beyond just communicating it to them and reminding them they're a gift from God, but then putting that into action and treating them like a special gift from God. So we're going to look at those three things a little bit today. Do you remember your wedding? Do you remember that moment during the ceremony when you laid eyes on each other for the first time, whether it was coming down the aisle or, you know, wherever it was? But do you remember that? Do you remember your thoughts? I'm gonna guess that whatever your thoughts were when you laid eyes on that person at your wedding, they followed this concept of that person being a gift to you. You may not have thought at that moment, here comes my gift. You may not have thought when you looked into his eyes and did your vows, he's a gift. But the thoughts you had running through your mind went along with the idea that you were receiving a gift, a special gift. Is that what you believe today? Do you believe that your husband is a gift to you from God? Do you believe that your wife is a gift to you from the Lord? Is that the way you think, that they are a gift? You know, we cherish special gifts that we've received, don't we? I mean, you're watching these Hallmark movies because you're getting ready for Christmas. And what's going to happen at Christmas? You're going to get gifts. You're going to receive gifts. And there might be a couple that are really special. And you're going to have a certain attitude toward that special gift that you received. We cherish special gifts that we get. We treat them a certain way. We think of them a certain way. Because they're a special gift. Do you think of your spouse in that way? As a special gift that God has given to you? Turn to, keep your finger in Psalm 128. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 2. Just that passage when God gave that gift to Adam. In Genesis 2, 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. And then he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from that rib that he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. God brought woman to the man. God gave her to him. She was a gift from God. And one way of looking at it is that he got his rib back and more, right? God took his rib, made a woman out of the rib, gave him the rib back, and more. And that's why Adam says in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Wow. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man. God had given him a gift. There's a comic that shows Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Adam is saying, hello, my name is Adam. I'm the most interesting person in the world. Maybe you haven't seen that commercial, but I'm going to bring this up. I know it's dangerous. It's there on your sheet, but it fits here. I want to give you an earth-shattering thought to mull over. You did not marry your soulmate. You did not marry your soulmate. Now, a lot of people think they did. Soulmate is this big word now, you know. And can I tell you a little Greek mythology here? In Greek mythology, there's a story about the god Zeus, the main god, okay, Zeus. And there was a time, according to Greek mythology, that the god Zeus wanted to humble human beings. He felt they were too arrogant. So Zeus thought that the way he would humble human beings is to split each one in half. So he split each human being in half. The result of that was that human beings ever since have wandered around hunting for their other half in order to become whole people again. And even though that's not true, it's Greek mythology, we're kind of doing what the myth says. We wander around looking for our other half because we think that's the secret to being a whole person. We're looking for our other half, only we use the term, what? My soulmate. Looking for my soulmate. So we go to eHarmony, we go to farmersonly.com, which is, you know, appropriate here. We have shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. How many times on that show do they interview contestants and they say something like, I'm hoping I find my soulmate. You know, as if I've lost the other half of me and I'm trying to find the other half, my soulmate. You do not marry your soulmate. Soulmates are not born or discovered. Soulmates are made and developed over time. If you've been married long enough, you know that's true. You look back now, and when you got married, if you're honest, you were not soulmates. But now you look back after about 30 years or more, and you can honestly say, we are soulmates. See? But people are out there looking for their other half, soulmates. We're trying to discover what God wants to give to us as a gift. Do you see your husband as a gift? Do you see your wife as a gift from God? That's where it's got to start. We've got to recognize that truth. Marriage is a gift. My spouse is a gift from God. That's where it came from. That's where he or she came from. Is that my belief? Is that my thinking? If it is, then number two, start communicating that. They need to know you believe that. Communicate to your spouse. If you believe he or she is a gift from God to you, let them know. Let them know often. They need to be reminded that that's what you believe. You need to say to him, "Dear, you are my Adam." Your wife needs to hear you say frequently, "Sweetheart, you are my Eve." We need to communicate the belief that we have that our spouse is a gift from God. When was the last time you communicated that? When was the last time in some way you let your spouse know that you believe he or she is a gift from God? That you said to them, "I thank God that he gave me you to be my wife. I thank God that he put you into my life to be my husband. You are a gift from God." Have you ever communicated that? It's important. If you believe it, you need to communicate it, that they are indeed a gift. It's called affirmation, and we need to hear that. We need to hear that. Proverbs 31. Well, you still have your finger in Psalm 128? Let's start there. Psalm 128. It says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord." Ladies, if you have a man who fears the Lord, you better be saying things to him. You better be saying, "You are a gift to me. You are a gift. Your impact on my life is nothing less than a gift from God." If you have a man who fears the Lord, you need to be affirming that to him, that he is a gift. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, 10. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." Have you told her that? Have you told your wife that? "You're a gift. You've brought good into my life. I'm a better person because I'm married to you. You are a gift from God." Toward the end of the chapter, verse 28, "Her children arise, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." You ever said that to your wife? Maybe not in those words. But do you communicate to her that she is a gift from God to you? And that you are so thankful? And then, of course, there's the Song of Solomon. Whoa! You read the Song of Solomon. And you have this back and forth between Solomon and his bride, his wife. And one of the things you cannot miss is that they really cherish each other. They really feel like the other is a gift. The way they're communicating to each other. Read it sometime with that in mind. That here you have a man and a wife just cherishing each other and being so thankful that they've received the gift of that other person. So, we need to recognize that this is true. Marriage is a gift. My spouse is a gift to me from God. We need then to be just reminding our spouse, communicating that. If that's what I believe, communicate it. They need to know that, that you see them as a gift. And then finally, we need to live it. Okay, we believe they're a gift. We communicate to them that they're a gift from God. Well, now we got to live it. We have to live in our relationship and relate to each other as though we believe that person is a gift. How do you relate to a special gift? Think of the special gift you will get at Christmas time. You will relate differently than you will relate to other gifts you get. Remember, young people, the video Wednesday night? The guy was so upset because his sister got a doll and he got pajamas. The doll was a special gift to his sister. She treasured it. Can you imagine how she related to that doll from then on and treated it? You can imagine how he related to and treated his pajamas. Okay? But when you get a special gift, you treasure it. You treat it differently because it's a special gift. If you believe your wife, your husband is a gift from God, a special gift to you, just to you, of all the women in the world, of all the men in the world, God gave you that gift. If you believe that, let them know and then start treating them like a special gift, relating to them in that way. And often, gifts come with something. Certain gifts come with an instruction manual, right? Instruction manual. Because you have these little words in the box. It says, some assembly required. And in some cases, it's a lot of assembly required. And then sometimes you also have in that manual a little explanation of how this thing is supposed to function. Right? How it's supposed to work. And so you find out that this is a special gift, but there's some assembly that needs to take place. There's some building. And there's a certain way that whoever designed that item made it to function. And so because it's such a special gift, you want to see and do your part to help that develop, be built up, and you want to use it in the way the designer of that item designed it to function. We have an instruction book that comes along with the gift of marriage. It's right here. It's the Word of God. Here you find the instructions for building, assembling a marriage. And here you find a picture of how it's supposed to function according to its creator. We actually have a picture of how marriage is to function. This gift God's given us. And then we have step-by-step instructions how to build it, how to develop it, how to assemble that marriage, that gift. So many of us, we get married, and just like other ones of us, when we get that gift and that manual, we kind of toss the manual aside. And we assemble it the way we want. We assemble it the way we think it should be. And we decide it should function this way. Do you realize how many messed up marriages there are? Because people have thought they can assemble and build it a better way than God. And that they would rather it function this way than the way God said it should function. Do you realize how many marriages have gotten messed up? Because we do not take that special gift and open the instruction manual and follow it. We need to live this belief that marriage is a gift and that my spouse is a gift. And we need to keep communicating that to each other, that they are a gift to us from God. And we need to keep living it out. We need to keep living it out. There on your study sheet, place you can start in the manual for building up the marriage, for how it should function according to God's design. Some of the very common scriptures on marriage. And you could add all the one another's that we just went through. All those relational teachings in scripture. That's part of the manual for how to build a marriage, how it should function. But this is the manual. We can't avoid this. Notice the comic on your sheet where the husband says, why are our marriage vows on the to-do list? Well, they're there, buddy, because you're not doing anything. Your marriage vows should be on the to-do list all the time. If you believe your marriage and your spouse is a gift from God, then you need to communicate that, and then you need to start living that. You need to start treating each other like a gift from God, a special gift from God. And here are the instructions for how to do that. I want to close with a little history for you, a little art history. Some of you probably know this. Maybe some of you have seen it. Michelangelo's David, the sculpture, famous, famous sculpture. Michelangelo made that sculpture of David in 1501. But there's a history behind that. By the way, it's 17 feet tall, weighs 12,000 pounds. It started out as one huge block of white marble. In fact, it was called the giant, that block of white marble, the giant. 50 years before Michelangelo sculpted David out of that block, that block of marble was given to another artist. 50 years before Michelangelo. The guy's name was Donatello. And he was presented with that large marble block, and he was commissioned to do a sculpture of David. But he struggled, because this block he found was marred. It was imperfect. It had little pieces missing. It was just a bad block of marble. And he tried his best, but he finally quit and said, I can't do it. There are too many hassles here. It's just too hard, too many imperfections. I can't do it. So he gave up. And that block of marble sat for 10 years until another sculptor named Rosolino was commissioned to sculpt David from this block of marble. He got started and worked for a while, and he too found the same thing as Donatello, that there were too many imperfections. It was too difficult to make anything out of this piece of marble. And he eventually quit. And then along years later, 26 years later, that marble just stood there for 26 years until Michelangelo came along, a young 26-year-old sculptor who was full of himself and he knew he could do anything. And so he told people, I can do it. I can do David out of that block of marble. So he started, and it took him a little over 2 years. But the end product was what we know today as that huge, famous sculpture called David. And as people were viewing this beautiful sculpture, this fine work, someone asked him, how did you do it? The first guy couldn't do it. It was too imperfect. Second guy couldn't do it. Too imperfect. How were you able to do this? And you've heard it before. You've heard this part of the story before. Michelangelo said, I just took that block of marble and I started chipping away everything that didn't look like David. And voila, David. God has given us a gift, it's marriage. God has given us a wife who is our gift from Him. He's given us our husband who is a gift from Him. Along with that, He's given us a manual, instructions for how to build that marriage, how to develop it. But He's also given us a picture of what it should look like, how it should function. And so, how do we go about getting from where we are now, as imperfect as it is, to that picture? We just start chipping away at the things that don't look like God's design for marriage. And we start taking them seriously. We start chipping away at the things in our own life that don't fit God's design of what marriage should look like. And I do that as a husband, and my wife does that as a wife. And as we continue to faithfully chip away at the things that do not fit God's design for a marriage, it starts taking shape. And someday we may see the marriage God intended us to have because we're following the manual and we're relating to each other according to that manual. We're relating to each other as gifts from God. And so, marriage is a gift. And that makes your wife a gift from God, and that makes your husband a gift. You didn't discover that person. You didn't win that person. You didn't find that person. He or she was a gift from God. And all you have to do is go back and remember how it all came about, and you'll agree, it wasn't you. It was a gift from God. Right? Is that what you believe? If it is, start communicating it. Maybe it's been a long, long time since your wife or husband even heard that come out of your lips, that you see them as a gift from God. And then start living it. Start treating each other like the gifts they are. And use the manual and start assembling that gift. Developing it, building it, until it becomes what God intended your marriage to be. Until you become the wife God intended you to be. Until you become the husband God intended you to be. And then you will enjoy the gift of marriage. At the bottom of your sheet, sorry gentlemen, but here's the bottom line. And this isn't the only man who believes this. John Gottman in his book on marriage says, what men do in a relationship is, by a large margin, the crucial factor that separates a great relationship from a failed one. A man's actions are the key variable. And men, you know that's true. We know it's true. We are the key. We are the ones that need to start believing our marriage is a gift, start believing that our wife is a gift. We are the ones that need to take the lead and start communicating that to her. And we are the ones that need to start living that out and treating our wives like a gift. And we are the ones that need to start using the manual, the assembly manual, and do our part to chip away the imperfections in us, to help assemble a marriage that fits God's design, His picture. It starts with us. That's always been the case. As uncomfortable as that is to some of us, as unfair as it seems, that is the case. Let's get started. Marriage is a gift. Spouse is a gift. Let's start believing, communicating, and living like it is. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You. Thank You, Father, for being the giver of gifts, the giver of good gifts. And sometimes, Father, You choose to give the gift of singleness, and we thank You for that. And we've talked about the value in that and how special it can be, and that especially when it comes from You, it's Your choice. Thank You for that. But Lord, we also realize marriage is a gift, and You choose for many of us to enter that gift and to give it to us, to give us our wife, to give us our husband as a gift. And Father, I pray that You would help us to believe that's true, help us to learn to communicate it to each other and then to treat each other as gifts and to follow Your word, Lord. Oh Lord, You're so good to us. You've given us the instructions. You've given us a picture of how marriage should be. Father, help us to follow it as we assemble this wonderful gift that You've given called marriage. In Christ's name, amen.